cause he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know, yes I know.
You richly for your acts of worship, amen, for the expression of the inner consideration you have for God, outwardly expressing it through your clapping, through your singing, through your presence in the church. We really praise the Lord for that, and we really appreciate the expression of your love. Thank you, Brother Jesse. Thank you, Brother George, Brother Vegas, Sister Dash, amen. Brother Clayton, God bless you richly for, you know, serving the Lord in his house. Amen. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning once again for your kindness and love. Seeing the sunshine outside, O Lord. Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this natural sun, O Lord. Amen. And we thank you for the Son of God in our hearts, O Lord. He never sleeps or slumber, O Lord. He's always awake, O Lord, to quicken our bodies, to quicken our spirits to the things of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your people that came this morning, O Lord, forsaking everything, valuing you above all, O Lord. This is a day of rest that the world has proclaimed that we should take rest after a week long of work, O Lord, but they've put you first, O Lord. Instead of taking whatever they could do to rest their body, they woke up and get ready and come to your house, O Lord. We thank you. Let all your Lord, your glory, your kindness be upon them, O Lord. Bless us, bless our souls in heavenly places, O Lord. And when we came out of your presence, we'll never leave your presence, O Lord. But day after day, O Lord, in your presence, let us be transformed to reflect more of your glory, O Lord. To reflect every day some of your attributes, O Lord, to this dying world. We thank you. Take now control. Take the leadership as we read your word. Speak to your people and help them understand what you want to tell to the church, O Lord. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you richly. Let's open our Bibles. Matthew 15:8. These people draws near me with their mouths and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless those that came from far. Brother Greg, Brother Jesse, Sister Toin and family. His sister Vimba, is it? God bless you. She came from far as well, from Zimbabwe. God bless you richly. Brother Maxwell and sister from Longford. May really, Sister Gitana from Banbridge. Brother James from Kells. We really appreciate the expression of your love to serving the Lord, and may God reward you for whatever you are doing. We are going to come back to our topic. We left it for a while. Now we need to resume a little bit, refresh our minds. It's about sacrifice and offerings. It's about worship. We won't go back to everything we said, but we just want to summarize a little bit what we said. I remember we said that true worship is the expression of an inner understanding of what God is for you. That's why Jesus said, they worship me with their lips, but their heart is somewhere else. He said, they draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Just want to draw our attention here that above what you express outwardly, true worship must come from the inside. The outward must be just the expression of that something that you have felt inside yourself, and then whatever you do outwardly, God will take it as a worship. But if you have not that inner aspect, that inner dimension of worship in you, whatever you do outwardly, it will be just something for external consumption. We saw it in the history. I think Brother Maxwell taught it in the church ages. There was a man who came converted, if we can call it that way. He converted to Christianity. He was an emperor, Constantine. You know the story. He just wanted to show outwardly that he has believed in Jesus. He has become a Christian. But really, he didn't convert. He just wanted to, you know, he just wanted the honor, the glory that went with Christianity, so that people could see, the emperor has embraced Christianity as well. He has become one of the Christians, but he didn't convert exactly. He was not a true worshiper. He still kept his gods, and it was expressed outwardly because he didn't embrace the Christianity, the pure Christianity. He came with his gods into Christianity. Though outwardly he took the name of Jesus, he became one of Jesus' followers, but inwardly he didn't really know what Jesus was for him. He didn't make that encounter between him and Jesus. That's why Jesus told that Samaritan woman, "You worship what you know not." To worship God, you must first know who God is. You must come to that grasp in your mind, in your heart, who exactly God is. Then you can worship him. If you have not realized who God is, whatever you do will just be an outward expression for people to see you, that you are going to church. For people to see that brother or sister so-and-so, she's a believer. But you have to come to that realization that who God is for you, understanding divinity, understanding God, what does God mean to you? And it's only when you understand that, they won't force you to worship God. Amen. Nobody will worship you, will push you to come to church. Amen. Nobody will push you to sing. Nobody will push you to express, because it's something that felt inside. As I said, I take that type always, that a woman, a girl who is in love with some man, she realized in her heart who that man is to her. Amen. And you won't push that girl to meet that man. She will long to be in the presence of that man because it's something that's happening inside and it pushes the body. The body will only respond to the pulse that comes from the inner realization of who that man is for her. That's why she will obey that man. That's why she will love that man. That's why she will take position for that man. Even if the whole family will say that man is evil, she will say, "I know who he is." Though you see him as a crippled man, but she sees beyond the crippledness of the man. Though everybody can see him as a blind man, she will say, "I love my blind mind," because she sees beyond the blindness. Inside of her heart, there's a connection between her and the man that transcends whatever people can say. Your love toward God, your worship toward God must be in that dimension. When there's been an encounter between you and God, when there have been that intimacy between you and God, there's something in your heart, that connection. And when that connection has happened, whatever people say, even if they say God doesn't exist, you know that God exists. Even if you can't see him, even if he lets you down, people will come and say, "You see, God has forsaken you." But it's like that boy with the kite. You remember that type? People don't see the kite, but you can still pull and feel the pull. I don't see it, but I can feel the pull. I have an experience with this kite. I know it is somewhere. Can you show me the kite? I don't see it, but I feel the pull. Amen? So, true worship, as we said, starts inwardly. You valuing God. You knowing exactly what treasure God is for you. You knowing what price God represents for you. And God is invaluable. You can't express the price of God. And if you come to understand that God is priceless to you, all the possessions you have in this world, they won't matter to you compared to what God is for you. Amen. If you happen to be satisfied, to fall in love with God, enjoying being in the presence of God, then you will express it. That inner realization is expressed now outwardly with what we call acts of worship. Amen. Because true worship is inside. You realizing who God is. And now it's expressed outwardly through acts of worship. Acts of worship become worship only if that first dimension has happened in your heart. Then your acts of worship will be expressed. What are acts of worship? Is your singing? Is your clapping? Is your dancing? Is your coming to church? Is your supporting the work of God? Those are acts that express that inner action that happened in your heart. Are we together? So, your praying, your fasting, it has a value in it only if you have that dimension, as we said. So, we said there's two, how can I put it? There's two ways or two types of acts of worship, of our worship. First, it is expressed through our body. As I said, singing, clapping, dancing, coming to church, fasting, praying, through our body. Secondly, it's expressed through our possessions. What you have. Amen. That's why you see in the Old Testament, they were going to the tabernacle. They were going to the place of assembly to praise God, but they were not going empty-handed. Amen. The expression, the act of that inner realization was expressed through giving their body, giving their being to God, and giving their possessions to God. That's why at the beginning of this series of teaching, I said, I don't want to insist in you giving money to God. Because that doesn't matter if you have not passed that first stage of worship. It will be just like throwing your money. Throwing it in the bin or giving it to whatever charitable act or whatever. But it takes its full significance if you really come to pass that first stage of worship, knowing who God is, getting to that intimate relationship between you and God. Then your acts of worship, your giving, your singing, your praising, your fasting. My brother, we don't want you to fast just for the sake of fasting. You know, fasting is not an easy thing. Fasting is very hard, and especially, I've realized it, the day I say I'm not fasting, I can stay from morning to the evening without eating. I'll be okay. Amen. I'll just come and eat when I come back home. Yes. But the day you say you are fasting, 5 o'clock in the, you're still in the bed, you feel your intestines there fighting. You know, there's a struggle there. True. Give us food. Give us food. True. And the time you wake up, you stand in your room, your legs are shaking. But it's still 7 o'clock. The time you get to 6 p.m., you'll just, you know, and especially that those kind of days, the sister will just, you know, prepare things that you like. She'll be there in the kitchen, and all the onions and everything. And yes, but we don't want that to be in vain. You don't want to deprive yourself just for the sake of outward consumption. But you want to deprive yourself of something beneficial. You know you are doing it for God. You know you are doing it, though you may not expect something in return, but you are satisfied that I'm doing it for someone I value. Amen. 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 I'm doing it for someone I value. That inner satisfaction. You know, a woman, when she's in love with a man, even if the man doesn't give her something in return, but she's happy that she has served her husband. Amen. Amen. She has sacrificed herself. Maybe she has burnt herself to cook for the husband. But when she's serving her husband, and her husband is eating, she's satisfied. Amen. There's a reward in that sacrifice she has made. Amen. And we don't want you to fast, to give, to come to church, to sacrifice whatever you could have done, without that inner satisfaction that you are serving God. doing it in vain is just a waste. And I'll prefer to send you back home. I'll prefer, honestly, I would prefer to send you to the discos. Because at least at the discos, your body is happy. At least you are dancing, you are playing, and you come back. You know, people, the drunk people, they never get hungry. You know that. They never get angry. When they are drunk, they are smiley. Have you realized it? Even if it's the worst woman, when she meets you, I remember when I was in Waterford, I was doing delivery job, pizza delivery job. Almost around the late hours of the night, around 2 a.m., 1 a.m., when the clubs are closing, you'll see those girls, they come out of, normally when they are themselves, they'll never greet you. But when they come out of the discourse, drunk, they'll come, "Hello, darling, how are you?" Come on. They are happy, they are ready to do everything, because why? They satisfy their body. I prefer you to go there and come out with something that you are pleased with than coming to church and not drawing a benefit from what you are doing. That intimate relationship between you and God must be the first thing. You realizing who God is for you and then serve him with your money. Then giving your tithes. Paying your tithes is not an easy thing. Let's see it. When you come to give to God, those people that were coming with their lamb or their bull under their arm to give to God, giving is not only the act of giving, but giving is an act in two stages. To give something, you have first to give up. Amen. It's your possession. You have to give it up first. You dispossess yourself of that thing. And then you give it. So giving is something that's more above, beyond than the act of giving. It's a painful act. You own, they pay you 2,000 euro, 5,000 euro. You possess 5,000 euro. But you have to give up 500 euro. It belongs to you. You have not given to God yet. We know it belongs to God because you are a believer, because you are a worshiper. But first, you have it's under your supervision. It's under your control. You have to give it up first. I said, okay, out of these 2,000, I give up 200, and then I will give it to God. That is sacrifice. Giving first starts with giving up. That's why Paul says, when we read in Romans 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, this is a different version, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm going to read this version. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual service of worship. Amen. You have to give. He is asking us here. We said the act of worship is first with your body. Giving your body to God. Amen. Means giving up first your body to yourself. Dispossessing yourself of your body. And then giving it to God. That's why you are here this morning. Because your body, yourself, yourself will desire to still be in bed now. Enjoy the weekend. But you have given up your body. It doesn't belong to you anymore. And then you give it to God. You say, I give my body. I would have been doing this and that today. But I give it up and I give it to you. My body will push me to go and drink. But I will tell my body, no, I understand your desire. I understand what you want, but I give up that desire and I give my body to God as a sacrifice. My body would like to go and, I don't know, drink. My body would like to go and commit fornication, which is a legitimate need for my body, which is naturally biological proven to be good. And my body has all the rights to claim it. But I say, my body, I give up that desire, what I could have done to please you, and I give you to God. So that my desire now, I give them up, and I want to do God's desires. Amen. Amen. Are we together? Amen. This is true worship. You giving. Your money, when you give it to God, you say, I give up whatever I could have done with this money. I give up whatever I could have done with this time. From 8 to 11 or whatever, I give it up. And let God use it. Let God use me during this time for his kingdom. Amen. That is worship. And we want to bring you to that dimension of worship. We want to bring you to understanding that you are not just doing it for the sake of doing, but it's a very deep act. And you understand what you are doing. Because there's no need for you to give up. Because you don't know that you are giving up something. But you have to understand that I'm giving my body. I'm giving up what I could have done with my body to serve God. And if there is no that intimate relationship between you and God, why are you giving it up for? That fat, I don't know, cow, that fat lamb, it may be the best in my flock. But I say, if I took it to the market, I could have sold it 10,000 euros. But I say, I give up those 10,000 euros, I take it to the house of God. May God take my fat cow and be used for his glory. That's what exactly it is. So, my sister, my brother, come to that realization, that intimate realization of who God is for you. If you come to catch that revelation, we won't force you to do anything. We won't beg you to give. Amen. Now I want to talk about giving materialistic things to God. It's not an act of something pushing you. But if we bring you, we take you to make that intimate relation, to understand who God is, Amen. We won't preach anymore about giving. Money, giving houses, lands, car. Those people, the first believers, they were giving up their lands, their possessions, because they realized the Holy Ghost in them made them to realize who God is for them, made them to realize what relationship they have with God, and the way they were using their possessions was the expression of the hierarchy of values in their hearts. There's a value hierarchy in your heart. And we understand it by the way you use your possessions. How are you using your body? If God was the first, the prominent treasure, the most prominent treasure in your heart, we'll see it in the way you are using your body. If God was the most valuable resource you have in your life, we'll see it in the way you are using your money. Are you using your money to pay prostitutes? Are you using your money to sponsor Manchester United? Or are you using your money to support the work of God? All that, we can see it, and we can't force you. That's why in this church, we don't focalize on giving. But we focus in building that intimate relationship between you and God. Because we know if you get to make that connection, and if God becomes the first person, the first being in your life, your money, you'll come and give even more than what God requires from you. Because you put him first. That's why we insist in you making that connection. In you taking, understanding who God is for you. Your body, your money, your possession, your time, it will become natural for you to give. It will become natural for you to support the work of God. Amen. So, we are going to stop here. But I trust God will make you, because the words, these are words of man. But the inspiration comes from God. Amen. And in your meditation, go pray and ask God to reveal you exactly who he is for you. Amen. And if you come to realize who God is for you, my brother, my sister, we won't even need to preach you anymore. Amen. If you know who you are worshiping, as Jesus told that woman, you worship what you know not. But if you know who he is, what value he represents for you, you will give up and you will give to him. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless your people once again for listening carefully, O Lord, for the respect they have, for their amens, O Lord, for their attention. Bless them, O Lord, because they are giving up what they are. And they give to you their bodies, their time, their riches, their families, their houses, their cars, everything, O Lord. May you reward us, O Lord. Make these things become really spiritual treasures in our hearts. Let us cherish them, O Lord. Let us keep them deeply in our hearts and practice them, so that we can become what we are taught day after day. As we prayed at the beginning of this sermon, this school, this lesson, O Lord, that day after day, we want to reveal more of your attributes. By listening to your word, by standing in your presence, by praising you, let us be transformed day after day to reflect what you are and to testify to this dying world that God is alive. Bless now the rest of the service. Take control and let the glory be unto you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you richly.